I'm Weather Channel meteorologist Reynolds Wolf, and you are listening to Almost Credible Discussion of the 2015 College Football Playoff-bound Auburn Tigers with the AU Wishbone.
A miracle in Jordan Hare! A miracle in Jordan Hare!
War Eagle.
We welcome you to Jordan Hare Stadium for tonight's game.
It's the Wishbone Podcast, your source for Auburn football discussion and commentary. Now, here are your hosts, Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer.
Hello, and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment, in association with the WarEagleReader.com and the War Eagle Sports Radio Network. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
And John, we are here with the last of our regular episodes before the two big regular features of the preseason, the barbecue episodes. And tonight, we are going to finish up the last three teams, well, two and a quarter teams, on the Auburn 2015 schedule with Georgia, Idaho, and some team in red from the western side of Alabama. We're going to skip our other usual features tonight. This is going to be a very meaty, very solid episode. We're going to do two things. We're going to do the preview of those games, and we're going to do some awesome listener questions that we got. Is this how you understand what we're doing?
That's the plan, Sam.
That is the plan. All right. Let us get into it then. I do have to point out, as always, in our announcements, because I don't know how many more chances I'll get to do this before the time comes, but I like to let our listeners know where I'll be if I'm going to be down in their neck of the woods. And remember that coming up the first weekend in September is the start of football season. It's the start of Auburn football season. Auburn will be in Atlanta, and so will I. Auburn will be playing in the Georgia Dome against Louisville. Perhaps you've heard of Bobby Petrino. And I will be at Dragon Con, and I will also be at the game. So if you are coming to Dragon Con, look me up. I'll be – all you have to do – you know, there's a million ways to find out what's going on there, but all you have to do is get the app. There's an app for Dragon Con. I know it's on iPhone. I don't know about anything else, but I know there's an iPhone app, and you can just type my name in and it'll show you all the events I'm going to be doing, where I'm going to be. It's awesome. I'll be tweeting it, and I'll be posting it on Facebook, so be cool to see people there, and I'll be at the ball game too. What are our next two episodes after this, John?
The barbecue episode.
Barbecue. I gotta go ahead and be thinking about what I'm gonna have. Am I gonna bring some of mine out of the freezer? Or am I going to go get some from a fine eating establishment? Have you decided yet which barbecue you're going to use?
We're going to do two episodes. I may do a little of both.
A little of both. That's good thinking. Yeah. Last year what we did is we ended up doing them together, but it ran almost 2 hours, so I just divided it in half. This year I think we're just going to do it as two separate episodes because there's just no way to do them all to do 14 teams in an hour. It's just no way, so. All right. Well, let's get on into it then. We want to talk about three episodes ago, we previewed the Louisville and Jacksonville State and, off the top of my head, LSU games.
Mm-hmm.
And then the week after that, I believe we did the match game, which
yep.
People keep telling me how much they enjoyed it. Thank goodness. Haven't yet had anybody come to me and say, I used to love your show, but after that match game thing, I gave it up. That's what I was afraid of, but nobody said that. And then, last episode, we previewed like the six, right? In the middle. So tonight, we're going to start with the Georgia Bulldogs. Bulldogs. About a six syllable word. Dogs. So, John, when you look over at Athens, what do you see?
There's a loaded question.
Oh, my God!
That was the Georgia announcer. That's what he sees. Hey, Georgia announcer.
I'm really tired of losing to. How about that?
Yeah, you know, I was just calculating. We have a winning record against Alabama since Mark Richt has been at Georgia. but Georgia has a winning record against us since Mark Richt has been at Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, Georgia's done better against us the last 14, 15 years than Alabama has. That just sticks in my craw. Not that I don't want to do well against Alabama, but we should always, it seems like to me. Am I wrong to say this?
It should be an even series at worst.
We should always have a better record against Georgia than we do against Alabama. I mean, I want to have an undefeated record against both, but in the real world where that's just not going to be possible, we should be better against Georgia than we are against Alabama. That's what it seems like to me. But you know what? You know, I calculated it earlier. This would just go ahead and be my
factoid of the week.
All right, here's my factoid of the week. If you take that four game run, 2006, 2007, 2008, and 2009, right? Take that out. Mark Richt is dead even with us.
Mm-hmm.
They just had that one good run there against two pretty darn good Auburn teams, one pretty bad Auburn team, and one kind of mediocre to not bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they kicked us around four times in a row. Other than that, it's even under Richt. So what do you see over there?
Well, here's what I see. I see a team that's, in some ways going to be a lot like they were last year. They're going to be solid on defense. They're going to run the ball. They're not going to ask the quarterback to do too much. They're like a lot of teams in this conference, they're replacing the quarterback. And like a lot of teams in this conference, they have to replace a really good coordinator. Mike Bobo left to be the head coach at Colorado State when Florida hired Jim McElvain away. And they replaced him with Brian Schottenheimer, who, Georgia fans that are talking about them going to the playoff, must assume that, or them winning the SEC, must assume that he's going to be an upgrade over Bobo, who Georgia fans, gave a lot of crap to, sometimes rightly so, for his failure to run the ball on certain occasions. But he was really good. Their offense has been very productive. And some of it is they have a lot of talent, but I think sometimes that, Bobo really got the most out of that talent in the last few years. And it's going to be interesting to see. I'm not sure Schottenheimer's quite as good as him. So they may take a step back in terms of the offensive coordination, but at the same time, they don't need to be that sophisticated. They got Nick Chubb. They got a good offensive line. They're going to tell the quarterback, don't screw it up, get out of the way, hand it off. And they're going to hand it to Chubb 30 times a game until he gets hurt or whatever. So,
Is it going to be handing it to Chubb, Mr. Virginia?
Oh, Grayson Lambert?
Grayson Lambert!
It's fun to say that and make fun of him, but I really don't think he's going to be the quarterback. I don't think Grayson Lambert's going to be the quarterback.
That's something that both the big teams we're looking at tonight have in common, is that in a very strange way, neither one of them do we really know who the quarterback is yet. That's pretty
strange. No, you really don't. I mean, I suspect Georgia has a couple players. Bryce Ramsey was a freshman last year and played the most, and they have a guy named Fatan Bauta who sounds like a Star Wars villain.
And that's good. Yeah, you're right.
He's a sophomore who's more of a mobile kind of quarterback. and then they got this guy transfer from Virginia, Grayson Lambert. And I said this when we joked about him before. Like, I've seen Grayson Lambert play a good bit at UVA, and I'm not scared of him. So, and supposedly he just transferred to UVA to be near his girlfriend.
Unleash the hounds.
So I think it's probably going to be Bryce Ramsey, although they haven't announced who it is yet. And I think it's not going to matter a whole lot. I mean, they lost a couple of real good receivers. Michael Bennett, Chris Conley were, very, very productive. Mm-hmm. I think that team, they hired Pruitt away from Florida State, Jeremy Pruitt, as a defensive coordinator the year after, after we played Florida State in the national title game. They hired Pruitt away, and I think he made the defense a lot better.
No question about it.
I mean, I think the guy that is now at Louisville, is a jerk. And
He was a Georgia coordinator before Pruitt, yeah.
That's right. And his defenses were good, but they – I think Pruitt has really stepped them up. They were excellent against the pass last year.
I'm glad you mentioned Pruitt, because I did want to say – at some point, you know, I don't like the guy that much. I don't like the teams he's coached for. Wasn't he a Bama guy before he went to Florida State?
Oh, yeah, he was the secondary coach at Alabama before he went to Florida State.
Yeah, and so, I mean, yeah, he's coached at Alabama, Florida State, and Georgia. I mean, could he possibly make me dislike him more, right? And and coached against us in the national championship game that we lost. So, I mean,
that's right.
I can't stand the guy on general principles. Never met him, never heard him speak a word. I can't stand him. But I got to say, in terms of coaching, he has impressed me over the last 2 or 3 years. I mean, he has gotten my attention and said, you know, I mean, yeah, Will Muschamp, you know, and yeah, Chavis and this, that, and the other, what's his name at Alabama and all. But my goodness, Jerry Pruitt, I mean.
He knows what he's doing.
He does seem to know what he's doing.
Georgia, you know, it's one of those things. Georgia is a program, especially under Rick, you know, they're going to get top 10 recruiting classes every single year without trying too hard even.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if they really get it going, they're going to get top 5 recruiting classes every year. And Pruitt's a guy who knows what to do with that kind of talent on defense. So I think he's you're right. I mean, I think Muschamp and Chavis got, you know, get all the headlines, but Pruitt may be the best coordinator in the conference right now in a lot of ways.
In a lot of ways, yeah. And we'll find that out as more years go by. I mean, but yeah.
Sure.
Now, I used to love living in Atlanta, listening to Atlanta sports, local sports radio, and the guys, especially the guys that had moved in there and weren't lifelong Georgia people, state of Georgia people,
mm-hmm.
they used to crack me up because they could just not understand. To save their lives, they could not understand why Georgia was not like what Alabama is the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. You know, they're like, why isn't Georgia just dominating the country? They get all the good players. They're in a great location. They got all the money. They got a huge stadium. They got all those things. Why, you know, and the fact is, of the Big Six in the SEC, Georgia's the one that's gone the longest. You know, they hadn't won a national championship since before Pat Dye came to Auburn.
That's right. 1980.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people younger than who were born after 1980 in the world. So,
oh yeah, probably about 3/4 of our listeners.
I was going to say they have no concept what a Georgia national title looks like. So,
that was that. Young people out there, let me paint you a color portrait. Okay, the year that Georgia won the national championship, that was the year. Okay, the year. When I was in school in Sylacauga, Alabama, that was the year that some people wore Georgia gear to school. Never before, never after, but that year, people started showing up in Georgia gear. And I just was rolling my eyes at them. I'm like, what are you doing, Georgia? As you can imagine, it was mostly the Alabama fans. They just changed channel real quick when it was the other team. In red that was, you know, doing well. So no big shock there. By the way, in case I'm making weird noises, my wife just rolled in with me a Butterfinger Blizzard, so I'm going to be munching this before it melts. So,
All right. Well, I'll take over for a minute here while you enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what else you need to know about Georgia. They play Kentucky the week before they play at Auburn.
Mm.
So that's good. And they don't have a cupcake game or an open date. Another thing I wanted to talk about Georgia for a minute is just last year's game. I think people forget this. Yes, they beat Auburn, you know, solidly, and yes, the score was big one way or the other. It was, you know, really bad. But this was a game the Auburn offense lost.
Yeah.
And the special teams. I think the score was 34-7, whatever. And I think if you just watch the highlights or whatever, you think, wow, the Auburn defense really fell apart. The Auburn offense and special teams really, really, really lost this game.
Yeah.
And we have to give a little bit of credit to Pruitt and the defense, but Auburn, this is a game, there was a lot of games last year where Auburn shot themselves in the foot, and this was a game where Auburn did it repeatedly.
Yeah.
You know, Auburn had 3 turnovers. 2 of the turnovers led directly to touchdowns. One of them was early in the game, a dropped punt at like the 10-yard line. Auburn had penalties on 3rd down on offense.
Oh, yeah.
Auburn had players lined up in the wrong spots on defense where Georgia went to the unbalanced line near the goal line and got an easy score out of it.
Let me say this about it. I just like 2 days ago watched where War Room Eagle on YouTube has cut up the games, so you can just see the all the Auburn offensive plays.
Mm-hmm.
That's so fun to do because you can get a whole game in about 12 minutes.
Oh, I love doing that.
Yeah. And I just watched the Georgia game, and what was amazing was, like you say, it was a combination of two or three things that even when, you know, not even counting special teams, just the offense, you could just see it. Like, we would be moving the ball. The first drive, first time we had the ball, we would roll right down this field on Georgia and score a touchdown. That's where we got the seven. Never did it again. I'm amazed how many people I've talked with, like on Twitter and other things, who think Georgia just blew us out of this game. It was like a 7-point game in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm. It was, and Auburn had the ball.
Oh yeah, we were in that game into the fourth quarter, easily in that game into the fourth quarter. But over and over, you'll see Nick Marshall drop back, avoid the rush, and throw like a 20 or 30 yard pass downfield, and the receiver would drop it. Over and over, like, you know, it's 3rd and 10 or 3rd and 15. He throws a beautiful pass, and the receiver just drops it. I mean, I must have counted 5 or 6 times that happened on critical plays. A couple were Ricardo Lewis, but at least 2 or 3 of them were our Steeler.
Sammy Coates.
Sammy Coates, yeah. He had a horrible game, Coates did. Mm-hmm. He had a horrible game. And then when they would do something good, there's a flag holding, you know, illegal motion, and move it back and move it back. And so you're right. They just absolutely self-destructed. Unbelievably in that game. And it, you know, that's a game that even though the score indicated we were blown out, it should have, if you played that game again, it would not have looked anything like that. I hope.
I mean, I think the defense held, you know, held around and held around and held around. And at some point, you know, what they couldn't do anymore. I mean, the offense had to do something else in terms of moving the ball. And, that's a game. I mean, the defense gets a lot of crap for the end of last year, but, and this is another example where they didn't play that badly. So, I mean, I'm not saying they played great, but this was a game, if I'm going to pin the, you know, on one side of the ball, I'm sticking it to the offense in this game.
Isn't that the only game where Gus has ever, been held into single digits? I think it is.
Yeah, I believe it is.
Ever. Wow. So, and seriously, Georgia's defense was not that good. I mean, it was as much Auburn's offense, at least, as it was Georgia's defense. Well, so we look at Georgia this year. What do they got coming back and on the defense that you expect to be make a difference for them?
Well, I mean, they lose a lot of guys up front. You know, a lot of guys that were defensive linemen that were strong, and they lost a couple of really excellent inside linebackers. Herrera was one of them that, you know, had a 100 tackles.
Yeah.
They have some really good outside linebackers though, and they have a lot of, you know, 4 or 5 star recruits at defensive tackle. They have a guy named Trent Thompson. I think he was one of the top defensive tackles in the country. He's going to come in and play right away. So it's those guys. They were much weaker against the run than they were against the pass last year, and you can see that if you go back and watch this game. There's times when Gus gets that kind of stubborn, I'm going to run the ball no matter what thing going on. And we have a couple of series where we don't even try to throw the ball. And so Georgia's going to replace him a good bit up front, but they have a lot of experienced guys in the secondary and some, like I said, some really good pass rushing outside linebacker types. So I think they're going to be solid on defense again. On offense, you know, they got to replace a quarterback, but they got Malcolm Mitchell back at receiver and some, you know, again, some really highly recruited guys behind him, and then a pretty good tight end, and they got Nick Chubb and a couple solid running backs behind him, Sony Michel. And I think Chubb is going to be, you know, probably the best running back in the SEC and a Heisman candidate this year. I think they're going to, you know, it'll be interesting to see. There were times when Georgia like didn't use Gurley enough when he was healthy.
Right.
And it'd be interesting to see with Schottenheimer in charge if that's still the case or if they were willing to put the hammer down and run Chubb like 30 times a game.
He's a sophomore, right? I mean, last year was his first year.
Oh, yeah.
Man, he did look good, though. I mean, he was just very impressive. I mean, there's so many good running backs in the SEC this year, but a lot of people seem to have him up, you know, at least at number 1 or number 2. I haven't heard him listed really below number 2. Have you?
No, I mean it's him and Fournette, and then I think people assume whoever comes out of Auburn will be up there in terms of the numbers, but it's really those two guys
and Henry.
Oh yeah, yeah, but yeah. I think I would take Chubb over Henry.
Arkansas two-headed monster. One of them got injured.
That's right. Jonathan Williams is out for the year now. They're saying so.
Still got Alex. Oh, he's out for the year.
That's what they said this afternoon.
Oh yeah. Man, well they still got Alex Collins, but
yeah,
dang. All right. There's a lot of the running back stuff I'd like to talk about. We'll save that one for down the road a little bit. Last thing about Georgia. If you were the athletic director at Georgia, what would you do with your coach?
With Rick?
Yeah.
It is the great question because it's one of those, could you win the national title with somebody else? I think I'd let him go through this year and see what they do. I mean, if you got to win the East, I mean, the thing is, has Georgia been in a position with the national title? Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, the year over 2 years ago when they lost to Alabama in the SEC championship game on the last play, they should have won the game.
Yeah.
And they should have beaten Notre Dame in the title game. Mm-hmm. And then
they would have too.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They'd have killed Notre Dame just like Alabama did. We wouldn't be having this conversation. So, to me, that's them being in a position to win the national title, and that's all you can ask for. So,
well, I'm still on record that I think the best Georgia team under Rick was 2002, and sure. they lost one game, and that was to Florida, their kryptonite.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they'll ever – I don't know. I think that was it, you know. He's going to keep sticking a 10-win season up there every couple of years and hanging around forever.
Well, the other thing is I think they're going to look back at this era the last couple of years ago. That was their window because the East has been really cruddy. And I think, you know, Florida's on the way back. Tennessee's on the way back.
Yep.
You know, Kentucky's better. South Carolina is still dangerous, and I think, you know, 2 years from now when Florida and Tennessee are both, you know, top 12, 15 teams mm-hmm. every year, then I think people are going to, you know, Georgia people are going to be looking at that schedule a lot harder. So.
Oh, yeah. You got to think it's heading that way. So, all right. Any last thoughts about Georgia? You want to move into the second juggernaut on our three-game juggernaut?
Yeah, let's move on.
All right. Well, you know, we talked last time about how we were doing the tour of our former offensive coordinators by visiting and playing against Bobby Petrino and Al Borges, but we also are touring the Petrino coaching family this year because the Idaho Vandals, who, by the way, may be, if not the worst team in Division I, possibly the second worst team in Division I.
They're up there.
Or down there, depending on how you look at it. Their head coach is one Paul Petrino. And Idaho, this is kind of hard to fathom. I mean, seriously, Jacksonville State is probably a much tougher opponent for us than in Division AA or whatever they're calling it than Idaho is. How many games has Idaho won in the last three seasons, John?
I don't know the answer.
Three. But you know what? They are consistent. They've won one game in each of the last three seasons. And Petrino was the head coach for two of those. So Paul Petrino's record as a head coach currently stands at 2-21.
Nice.
That's impressive in a very bad way. They not only play at Auburn this year, they also play at Southern Cal. So that's not going to go well. So they'll go no better than 10-2, right? And they also play at Arkansas State, interestingly, because and Troy. So because they're in the, of course, a team up in Idaho would be in the Sun Belt Conference. Go figure that one. Man, their travel expense must be huge.
Well, they get paid well for this game. I mean, but They're like you said, we don't need to spend a lot of time. They're a terrible team. They're in the same ballpark last year with like. Southern Miss, Hawaii, Texas, San Antonio, Wyoming, Buffalo, you know, UNLV, Connecticut. So,
but they do play in the Kibbe Dome, which seats 16,000 people. Can't beat that. Another last factoid about Idaho. Their quarterback is Matt Linehan, who is the son of the former Rams coach Scott Linehan, who's now the Cowboys offensive coordinator. So he may know what he's doing. You know, at least he's got the bloodlines. We'll see. But I don't expect them to provide very much of a speed bump on our way to playing Alabama. So shall we move on to the final game?
Their primary function is to allow us to rest the injured, banged up starters.
You see a lot of Sean White against Idaho.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. The last game of the regular season, and hopefully we'll play three more games after that, oddly enough. The Alabama something or others. This is a team, Alabama. I don't know if you've heard of them. Alabama. This is a team, I mean, supposedly they have a reputation for very good defense. But let me just tell you, John, in two of their last games last season against Auburn and Ohio State, how many yards did they give up combined?
A lot.
1,200.
Mm-hmm.
How many points did they give up combined in those two games?
I don't know, 100?
97. So clearly this is a team with a very poor defense, right?
Well, or they can defend some things and not other things. I think it's more in that direction.
Okay, all right. Well, surely a team with that much tradition and success must have a very firm understanding of who their quarterback's going to be, right?
Absolutely not.
Who's going to be their quarterback?
Well, they don't know, and they're certainly not, you know, telling anybody anything. It's going to be, you know, one of a group of players. FSU transfer Jacob Coker, who supposedly sprained his ankle and is missing a few days.
Oh, is that why he's been – I heard he wasn't there and all the conspiracy theorists came out of the woodwork.
No, he sprained his ankle or something supposedly. They have a sophomore named Cooper Bateman. They have a redshirt freshman named David Cornwell. And they have a true freshman named Blake Barnett. Hmm. So I think a lot of people think it's going to be Cornwell. And that's probably where I would put my money. But I haven't seen any of these guys play other than, you know, the Heisman hype footage of Coker last year. So
the two-time Heisman Trophy contender.
That's right.
I'm assuming all those freshman quarterbacks you mentioned were all 5.5-star guys coming out of high school, right?
Yes, they were.
Oh, yeah. So I'm sure any one of them could just plug right in and take them to the promised land. So,
well, I mean, again, it's what are they going to ask the quarterback to do? And I think even more than last year's team, this year's Alabama team is going to be a lot of, you know, hand the ball off and get out of the way kind of a lot less throwing the last year, I think.
Well, we got to say one reason they're not going to be throwing it as much is because they no longer have Amari Cooper.
Yeah, he joins the legion of players. We're, you know, very glad to see the screen door hit him in the butt on the way out of the
absolutely
building, 'cause he killed us.
That's right, absolutely. So no more Amari Cooper, but they still got that really good tight end, right?
Yeah, but he's more hype than productivity. I mean, I think he's one of those guys that everybody's like, ooh, O.J. Howard, look out. Where did they get O.J. Howard going, all right? How many yards do you think O.J. Howard had last year?
10,000?
260. He only caught the ball 17 times, okay?
Wow.
So, like, less than 1.5 a game.
But John, I thought that Lane Kiffin was a genius.
Well, Lane Kiffin is a genius, but this is Lane Kiffin's genius, okay?
Yeah.
Lane Kiffin figures out who his really good stud players are, and he force feeds them the ball. So, I mean, if you look back at last year's team, this thing. Like, Cooper had 124 catches last year. Not targets, catches.
Catches.
Okay? The rest of the team had 160 catches. Like, all the other 18 players who caught a ball combined, led up to 160, he had 124.
Man.
So, you know, it was almost half him, half everybody else. And I think that's not going to change. That's how Kiffin does stuff. He had the same kind of thing at Southern Cal in a lot of his offenses. And I think he's going to identify the players that he thinks are the studs and feed them the ball. And I think this year it's going to be Derrick Henry and Kenyon Drake are going to be two of the main guys, and one of the receivers will work out. Maybe it's Howard. Maybe it's one of these young guys, the highly recruited guys. I got plenty of them. Mm-hmm. But I think it's going to be – there was a year at Southern Cal when they had Lindale White and Reggie Bush
mm-hmm.
in the backfield, and I think it's going to be kind of like that offense with Henry as Lindale White, who was actually great in college. And Drake playing the Reggie Bush role. He's kind of a slot receiver, speed sweep guy.
Yeah, the power guy and the scat guy kind of.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I think those guys will touch the ball, between the two of them 40 times a game or whatever. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they did not have a 1,000-yard rusher last year. How weird is that?
It is, but I mean, they had two really good running backs that split the carries.
They had two 900s, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just never was that impressed with T.J. Yeldon, honestly. I mean, I thought he was serviceable, but he just never came across to me as, he never had a 150-yard, 200-yard game or something that made me just, like a Trey Mason did or something.
No, he made a couple of huge plays on screen passes and stuff over the years, but. He was productive. He was solid, but no, he didn't scare you or anything.
He just looked slow. He kind of plodded to me. He never looked like a fast.
He was very smooth the way he ran, and it made him look slower than he was. But
yeah, I guess so. So, I think that really where you begin and end with Alabama is the offensive and defensive lines, though, right?
That's it. I mean, the offensive line was excellent last year, and they're losing a few guys, but they have solid building blocks there, and they're going to be plugging in, four or five star guys. They're going to be fine there. The defensive line is going to be the best in the country. They're really, really going to be tough inside. A'shaun Robinson is excellent. They don't get a ton of pass rush. Everybody thinks, their defense is so great, but they don't get a lot of sacks. They don't get a lot of quarterback hurries. They really just, let you do your thing and then stuff you. And then, they jam up the offensive line. And they let the linebackers, free to run around and make the tackles and stuff. And, I think they're teams that, aren't really, really strong up front are going to have real problems against them.
If you think about the strengths of this Alabama team compared to some of the other parts of the team, and you think back to like their 1992 team and how it was able to win the national championship.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at this Alabama team this year, at the end of the year, will this Alabama team be able to contend and win the national championship, or will we be saying...
I got great news for you.
Auburn beat Alabama by 12 points.
No, this is important, honestly.
So which will it be?
Well, I mean, I think 1992 is a different era in college football, and you could win the title playing, suffocating defense and with a very conservative, boring offense. But I think in 2015, you got to be able to score 30 points anytime you walk out there on offense. And we think this team can because they have a lot of talent. But until you see the quarterback go out there and do it on – and not just do it. But let's remember what happened last year when the first time Blake Sims was really solid last year. What happened the first time they played a really tough road game? I think they scored a zero on offense at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
So – I don't want to hear about it if their quarterback has a good day against Wisconsin or in a cup, a cup.
Which he will probably.
And come home and play some patsies after that at home. Wait till they go on the road and play it, in the middle of the year, they got to go to Georgia.
Yeah. Oh, that's right? Interesting.
And they got some other tough road games in the West. They got to go to Texas A&M. And when they're in those stadiums with this young quarterback, let's see what happens then.
Yeah, they did not do great for the first two thirds of the year, did they, on the road?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, let's look back at their road games. I mean, it lost at Ole Miss. They won at Arkansas by one point. A blocked extra point.
Mm-hmm. They won at the end of the year against Mississippi State, but Mississippi State was starting to disintegrate by then, just like Ole Miss and Auburn were.
That's right.
All three teams are sort of the
and they won at Tennessee, and which was like a Tennessee was just starting to go to the young quarterback at that point, and they kind of hung around more than people thought. And they won by a touchdown at LSU in a game that, you know, really LSU wasn't that good, but had a chance to tie the game at the end.
That's right. That's right. So should be very interesting. I mean, what do you think? I mean, we're going to talk about this a little bit with the barbecue episodes the next couple of weeks, but, you know, I keep hearing these national announcers, national commentators talking about it. And first they were like, oh, it's Auburn's year. Auburn's everything. And then they were like, oh, you know, Texas A&M, they're the ones we really need to be looking at. But I still hear people in the background, like Feldman, saying, well, you know, Alabama, you know, you could say you're Auburn's and Texas A&M, but Alabama, because of those lines and everything, Alabama's the one that really has the long haul best chance. I mean, what do you think about all that talk?
I mean, I think all of those teams, you know, got to play each other and it'll work itself out. But I think part of the – you can't say Alabama's not a contender. I mean, you can't bury your head in the sand unless their quarterback situation absolutely implodes and they're terrible. Mm-hmm. You know, they have continual meltdowns because they just have so much talent everywhere else that most of the teams they play, mm-hmm. you know, say – 8 out of the 12 teams they play, they can just line up and run Derrick Henry and roll the defense out there and play vanilla and crush those people. Mm. You know, but when they play at A&M, when they play at Auburn, when they play at Georgia, they're going to have to make some plays. And can the you know, new receivers who are replacing Cooper do that? Can the new quarterback do that? How's the new one? Have they got a kicker? Because, you know, that was still a problem last year. They have a great punter. The guy's excellent, but the kicking is still a problem.
Oh, you know, here's an interesting thing. The two last teams we play, Idaho and Alabama, have two of the best punters in the country. I don't know how much that matters, but Idaho's punter, and it's like with Vanderbilt. When, you remember when Vanderbilt used to, in the 80s, was so terrible, but they always had the all-SEC punter?
Mm-hmm.
Must be something about being a punter. You're really smart. Idaho's punter was a finalist for the Ray Guy Award last year, so We got to really be careful now, because when you get Idaho into third and long, that's when they pull that punter out.
That's right.
Fourth and long. I'm sorry. I don't even want to play football anymore. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You Idaho is at their most dangerous at fourth and long, because that's when they get their star player on the field. So just remember that. You heard it here first. You don't get this from other shows, people. All right. Any other things about Alabama?
The one thing I would say about Alabama in terms of our matchup with them is, you know, the last 2 years in Auburn's games against them, Auburn has averaged 39 points, 511 yards, and 6.2 yards per play.
That's awesome.
So, you know, and what I saw is Alabama, Landon Collins was the best player on that defense. He's gone. So they're still going to be really good. But I'm not, you know, quivering with fear or anything about Auburn, about the Gus Malzahn offense against that defense.
Right.
And so our thing is, you know, we just got to be able to hold them to fewer points this time.
I think that if we can hold them to fewer points than we score, we'll be in good shape. I think
I know we're venturing into barbecue episode territory here, but I just have to say this. How nice would it be to actually, like, decisively beat them?
I've said it for years.
I'm not talking about like 50 points, but I'm just talking about like more than 10 points.
Just put them away.
Yes.
Just put them away and just that with your hands and say, there we go.
That's right.
That would be very, very nice. But with those lines, it's just hard to do that.
Well, but what I'm saying is I think Auburn could score, and I think, you know, basically nobody in the country could stop Auburn when the offense is going. And I think our defense is going to be a lot better. You know, I think our defense is going to be a lot better. And Alabama will, you know, they don't have Cooper anymore. Can somebody else step up and terrorize defenses like he did? I don't know.
You know, I've got to throw this in here because I went to all the trouble of getting it. This is a little preview of what we'll be hearing the rest of the season. But we were going to do a segment tonight on the sweep, the jet sweep. And who the player would be that would kind of take that Corey Grant, Ontario McCaleb role. We're not going to do it. Let's go and get on the listener questions. But I prepared something, and we'll be hearing this the rest of the season when his name comes up, and hopefully for the next three or four seasons to come. And that is one of the players that's maybe playing that role, possibly.
Carry on my wayward son.
There you go. So get prepared to hear that. Hopefully a lot over the next couple of years.
Oh, very nice.
Going to be sweet. All right. I think we know what time it is, John.
We do.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
All right. My youngin' just back with us from Gatlinburg, where we had a good old time. And ready to answer some listener questions. I think we got a good batch tonight.
We got a big batch.
All right, let's dig in.
All right, first question comes from Michael Kirshner,
okay,
who says, with the defense needing playmakers, where do you see Cowart and don't call me Jake, Jeff Holland, kind of a special packages or every down?
I think special packages early and increasingly every down as the season goes on. What do you think?
I'd agree. I think more at the beginning of the season, going to be third down only kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But as the season goes along, I think, probably going to be playing a lot. But, if they're playing 15, 20 snaps a game on, doing third downs and the other teams in long distance stuff, that may be enough.
I saw some interesting quotes from Montravius Adams. Isn't that? Montavious mm-hmm. Adams. I always get my Montraviuses and Montaviuses mixed up. Did you see Montavious Adams' quotes about?
Not sure which quote you're talking about.
About Byron Cowart.
Not sure.
He said something to the effect of he was very impressed with him. He's big. He's eager to learn all that. But he was saying that he kind of got discouraged for a while. He said he was something like down in the dumps or something for a while. But he said it was because he didn't know the playbook. And he wants to just come right in. I mean, that's been the thing with Cowart from the very beginning is they have him a 3-year plan. It's almost like he's a basketball player, and he's going to come in and then already planning to go to the NBA. They have a 3-year plan. Comrade Stalin has a 3-year plan for Byron Cowart. It involves building dams for the motherland. It involves him playing early and often. And he was a little discouraged because he didn't know the playbook. But Adams was saying that he thought he was catching on a little bit more now and just needed to be patient. So I just thought that was interesting to find out that, he is human. He's like a machine in some ways. He's been very professional about it. I can't imagine when I was 18 approaching college anyway the way that he has, and thinking about his future and thinking about, systematically and methodically moving toward a professional goal. I was just there to have fun for a couple of years, and try to figure things out. So I'm always impressed when these young men come in and they're 17, 18 years old and they have a plan and they know what they're going to do and they're already, halfway there and everything. So I hope that he gets his head on straight and that he gets the playbook down and can go out and tear things up. That was what Coach Garner said was, we plan to use him quite a bit.
I like it.
Yes.
All right. Next question isn't a question, just an observation. Mike also points out that in years when the PGA Championship is played at Whistling Straits course, Auburn is undefeated, 2004 and 2010.
And I was wondering, does that mean they're playing there this year?
Yes, they just played it there this weekend.
Ah, so that's even better than my Chelsea statistic. Which is
when it goes together, though.
Yeah, well, Chelsea won the championship in 2010, and they won it in 2015. Now, they're looking kind of shaky this fall season, but they won it in the season that ended this year. The season that just started last week doesn't end till next year. So yeah, that's very good. I like hearing stuff like that. It means absolutely nothing, but I like hearing it anyway.
All right. Our next question comes from Nate Gilbert. It's very appropriate. He's at Fly Down the Field, and he says, can our defense stop Nick Chubb?
Oh, yeah. We've always been able – when was the last time we had a running back just, tear us to pieces?
Talley.
Yeah. Even in the years when we've had a bad secondary, we've usually had a pretty decent run defense. Even the 2010 team, they couldn't stop a receiver. Every receiver we played in 2010 had a career day, basically. But they shut the running game down when they needed to. So I think we can stop Chubb. We can stop Fournette. We can stop. We know that we can stop Alabama's running backs.
Yep.
So I'm not that worried about that.
And I'm at the game. The same thing with all those guys is the other weapon isn't just the defense. It's Auburn's offense. Auburn right. jump out to get to a big lead, and it takes the ball out of those running backs' hands.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're not going to see a whole lot of Nick Chubb if Georgia's down 21 points in the second quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you might because it's all they got, but not as much as you would. I mean, they'll have to start throwing it around. So.
All right, next question comes from Jonathan Harris at AU Zoom. He says, over under Alabama's losses by the time the Iron Bowl starts, he said he'll say two.
Ooh. Yeah, no, if I were Las Vegas, and he's saying before the Auburn game, how many losses will they have over under? How many losses will Alabama have coming into the Auburn game? If I were Vegas, I would put the over under at one. Because you want to divide the money, right? And if you said two...
Well, I'll say one and a half. What would you say?
I'd go under. I'd put $20 under on that. I think Alabama is going to end the regular season with two losses. I don't think they're going to have two losses before they play us.
All right, listen to this stretch in the middle of the season.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
At Georgia, Arkansas at home. These are all back-to-back. At Georgia, Arkansas at home, at Texas A&M, Tennessee, LSU, at Mississippi State.
Is that like October?
That's like beginning of October to mid-November.
I'm going to enjoy that stretch of games, John. But I just have a bad feeling it's going to look like Florida State last year, where they're, you know, they're on the verge of death in every one of them, and they somehow use their evil satanic powers to find a way to win all of them.
It could happen.
They'll drop one of those, though.
All right.
I'd love to see them drop five of them, but they'll drop one of them for sure.
Jonathan Harris also asked, how many UGA players will be suspended and then return for the Auburn game?
Well, I mean, there'll be three that break their legs, two of which will actually sever the leg from the body, and they'll be back the week before Auburn.
All right. And he says, which game is Jeremy Johnson had more passing yards, Georgia or Alabama?
Alabama.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Yeah.
The ghost of Shorty Price, whose Twitter handle is Bubba Jacks, says, Alabama and Kiffin did hang a lot of yards on the must-champ defense last year at Florida, over 600 yards. How do we stop that this year? I think if you go back and watch that game, actually – yeah. The Florida offense, again, did zero. Nothing.
Right.
They
yeah.
couldn't get a first down the first half of the game, and eventually that was it. I mean, I think if Auburn's offense is going to be moving up down the field, that's the way you make the most difference of that. And he also points out, the ghost of Shrewd Price points out, he misses the visits with Coach Snyder.
I'll have to wake him up then now, won't I? Mm-hmm. I got to get Coach Snyder onto the soundboard. I mean, that way I can wake him up electronically and get him going. So I'll look in and see if he'll come back on the show that way. So, yeah, that's interesting. I do remember the Alabama-Florida game last year. It's almost like I'd forgotten it even happened. But, yeah, it was a case where Florida kind of hung with them for a while. But it was one of those deals where after a while the defense just kind of realizes they're not going to get any help.
Mm-hmm.
And they just start to fold. And it's just you can't blame them. I mean, they weren't getting anything out of the eye. It wasn't like the Georgia-Florida game where the Florida offense actually cooperated and provided some unbelievable offense, you know. It was weird.
And again, that was Alabama playing at home. Makes a big difference.
Right.
At Teddy Min says, is Javon Robinson on the potential bust watch list?
I'm not going to go so far as to say the potential bust watch list, but I will say I think he's kind of where Kenny Irons was preseason 2005, where there was another back that was not as hyped as him who ended up starting the season because he knew the playbook better but didn't have quite the same talents maybe. Now, I think that the other two guys have plenty of talents, but I think that this is just the sense I get is that Robinson is just a few pages behind in the playbook and all that. And so That being the case, Horton and Rhett and Damian and Gus, our offensive brain trust, they're going to go with who they trust, right? With who they feel like they can do the most with. And I think that there will come a time when Robinson busts out. Now, remember, and I want to get your thoughts on this too, but let me just say this. Remember that I have been pointing out from day one that Robinson had about half the yards in his second year of JUCO that he had in his first year. Now, there may be reasons for that, but I have yet to see anything from him that makes me go, ooh, look out, you know, like I did when, say, Cam came in or
I think
like that.
Again, like Cap, you know, Cameron Payne didn't come in and start right away. I think even though he was a JUCO guy too, I think it's the kind of thing where you haven't been in the system for a year. I think Rock Thomas has a big advantage right now along with Pettway. So,
yeah, well, I mean, absolutely. I think Cameron Pettway
I'm going the wrong guy.
That's a fullback. Peyton Barber.
Peyton Barber.
We're not going to have that problem again once the season starts, I promise.
No, I know.
I expect big things from Peyton Barber. I think he is poised to have it. Now, you know, maybe he's not quite the freakish running back player that Rock might be or that we were told Javon Robinson was. But, I mean, he's, you know, from what I've seen of him, he's kind of a Ronnie Brown type. Does that sound about?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Rock's kind of Cadillac. And Peyton Barber is Ronnie Brown. And I think if we only had those two guys, we would be very happy.
I agree. We're going to be fine at running back. I'm not worried about it at all.
Yeah. But we will see what happened with Javon Robinson. It is one of those several questions along with how is
– Certainly Duke is Duke.
How is his foot?
We're not going there yet.
We're not going there, no.
All right. At Johnny Dent says, what are your thoughts on the Auburn marching band's decision to no longer play reverse jammer, rammer jammer?
No, I didn't hear about that.
They said they're not going to play it. During the Iron Bowl, they're not going to play that song.
So we have to once again react to Alabama. We once again base what we do on what Alabama does or doesn't do. You know that I am a very strong advocate of doing whatever we want to do and not basing our actions and decisions on what Alabama does or doesn't do.
I don't know if this is some kind of we're trying to be sportsmanlike thing or something. I don't know.
That's the sense I'm getting. I may be wrong, but it just makes me have the willies, the creeps when I start feeling like we're going, oh, Alabama does something. So we can't do that, or we have to do that if Alabama doesn't do it or whatever. I just, you know, I don't worry about Alabama. Who just cares? Just do what we do. I like doing it. Next, they'll tell us if we beat Florida State, we can't chop at them.
We're going to chop.
Forget that. We're going to chop them down.
All right. Our next question comes from Emily Rios.
And I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to do those things.
I'm going to consume all of this at the same time because I am a free American.
That's right, Ron. All right. I'm sorry. What does Emily say?
Emily says, Coach Craig said in a recent article he was going to go back to do things the way they did in 2013. There were practice issues. And he says, how much of last year can be attributed to Gus letting off the gas, and how hard is it to get the edge back?
Oh, we got to get our edge back.
I think I have thoughts about this. I really think the injuries to Lawson and Cozon scared them heading into last fall, and it caused them to ease up in practices and not hit so much and not tackle so much. And I think that led to a lack of execution at times and maybe a lack of toughness.
It's so cyclical, right? We hear this every 3 or 4 years or 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
I remember under Tuberville, this used to always, you know, like some years he'd be like, well, we got a veteran team. They know what they're doing, so we're not going to do whatever. And then a couple of years later, he'd be like, well, we got to get back to hitting and taking the orange jerseys off. And, you know, I mean, it's just a cyclical thing, I think. It happens all the time, over and over and over.
All right, last question comes from AU Tweep, who says, now that Marshall will likely be an NFL cornerback, does Gus regret not starting Jeremy and moving Nick to defense last year?
No. I mean, look, as we talked about on numerous occasions last year, Nick Marshall at quarterback was one of the few things that really was good the entire season. It wasn't, I mean, it wasn't perfect. He's not the greatest passer ever. But number two, Nick Marshall came to Auburn specifically to play quarterback. And that's what he wanted to do. And Gus put him in a position, and Rhett and the others put him in a position to be the best college quarterback he could be. Now, if it worked out that he didn't get drafted as a quarterback and he needed to change back to defensive back in the pros, that's a completely other issue. He didn't come to Auburn to play defensive back. He came to play quarterback. That's what they let him do. He did great at it, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, would the team have been better off because he would have made a weak position a lot stronger? Maybe, but I mean, I don't know if he could have helped the Auburn defense last year. I mean, again, could he have transferred to play defensive end? Because that's what we really needed last
year.
Yeah,
that's where we needed him, at defensive end. That would have been interesting.
Unless Nick could cover a guy for half an hour, it didn't make any difference. So,
right.
I mean, you go back and watch those the defensive cut-ups, like, it makes me sick watching the quarterback stand there, the Texas A&M freshman quarterback and Mississippi State quarterback just stand there in the pocket forever and ever and ever looking.
Ronnie
for
Lott wouldn't have made any difference in our secondary. No.
So I mean, again, I think people are going to go through the sheet, and there's going to be times when Auburn fans are going to say, oh my gosh, I'd give anything to have the read option with Nick Marshall right now. I mean, I think Jeremy's going to be great, and he's going to do great things, but that play was so effective and such a staple of our offense that people a little bit take it for granted.
Yeah, no, I agree.
All right, that is it.
That's it, man. All right. We got the show in right in the nick of time. We did it. We're in under an hour. So we got a nice, concise little episode. And, John, I have new themes for the barbecue shows this year.
I look forward to it.
I'm sure. Understand, folks, when John says he looks forward to it, he really means he may be renegotiating his contract depending on – depending on how it goes, he may be taking a leave of absence just to get away from the silliness. So, all right. Any last thoughts about now that we've gone through all 12 games and kind of looked at those teams and we prepare for our SEC breakdown?
The series is right around the corner. Season's right around the corner. Let's go.
Unbelievable.
I mean, I'm excited now.
It's not long. We are recording this on August 17th. And that's over the halfway point through August. Now, the season starts a little later this year than usual, but I just can't wait. All right. Where are you going to watch the opening weekend?
I will be here at the homestead.
Ensconced in front of the big screen.
That's the plan.
Oh, very good. Very good. All right. Well, don't forget to check out Decades of Dominance. It always seems to sell a few copies every time we put a show out. We appreciate you folks, the new listeners going out, and it's our book on the history of Auburn football in the modern era. There's also, of course, Season of Our Dreams, the 2010 season, kind of our week-by-week account. And otherwise, follow us on Twitter. The show is on Facebook at AU Wishbone. Our time is up. And as always, we thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.